Hi, this is Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We're delighted to have a very special guest we're going to introduce in just a moment. But first, before we begin our program, I do as I always do. I'd like to invite you, our listeners, to consider sending in some comments on the program. Perhaps you have a subject, an area that you'd like us to investigate for you, maybe get an expert to talk about, and we'd be happy to do that. But we have to hear from you. So we'd like you to consider contacting us. You could do that two ways. First, by the regular mail, putting a stamp on an envelope and addressing it to Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. The zip code in Greenwich is 06836. That's 06836. And just enclose your comments. We'd love to hear from you there. If you're on the computer and would rather send us an email, you can do so at the following address. That's clemens10@aol.com. Let me spell that for you. That's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, then the number 10, at aol.com. And while you're on the computer, I invite you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You could find that at spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. And don't put com in there or send you off somewhere else. So spirituality.org. And we also have at that website not only the magazine and some articles and other items to look at, but also our program. Our radio program is there. And it also has archived programs that you might like to take a look at some of the subjects there and listen to them. Well, first, my co-host, Dorothy Rare, could not join us today, but I'm delighted to be able to welcome, actually, an old friend of the show. And we'd like to welcome Maureen Giardiello of the Diocese of Bridgeport, where she serves as coordinator of Respect Life. And Maureen, once again, welcome.
Thank you, Father Ray. I'm glad to be here.
We're delighted to have you join us today. And, you know, Respect Life has gotten to be a very, very big subject.
Yes.
Now, your involvement, how long have you been there now?
So I began in the diocese in 2012. And then about 2 years ago, I took a step back because I had gone back to school to earn my undergrad in psychology. Oh. So I'm just about to finish that up, graduating in May. And I came back to the role in September and really kind of dived into it. Like beginning January, I was kind of, you know, like testing the waters, you know, stepping back in. But now it's about like rebuilding the relationships that I had prior to me stepping back. But during the meantime, while I took a step back, I had retained the Project Rachel ministry and just did things remotely from there.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm wondering about just the scope of Respect Life is pretty big.
Yes.
I mean, it's total life. So tell me a little bit about the programs you're running.
So some of the things that we're doing, so the USCCB has a recommendation for a four-pillar mm-hmm. approach: public policy, prayer, teachings, education, just different things like that. But I think, you know, for our diocese, the main thing that has been coming up, obviously, is some of the abortion issues, things mm-hmm. that have been happening in New York mm-hmm. and around the country. One of the things that we do is support the laity in their mission doing the 40 Days for Life prayer campaign, which there are two running right now in the diocese. There's a location in Danbury, and there's a location in Bridgeport. And so that runs during Lent.
Mm-hmm.
There will also be a fall campaign. They started that up several years ago, the 40 Days for Life campaign. And so it's like twice a year. And so what I do with that is support the program managers of that, getting the word out, you know, just trying to get parishes engaged to help with the prayerful witness in front of the clinics.
So that works through the parishes?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's basically a prayer
It's just it's a peaceful, prayerful presence in front of the Planned Parenthood locations. Mm-hmm. It's not confrontational at all. It's just trying to be a witness. Mm-hmm. And actually, the locations that they go to, the Planned Parenthood is kind of set back. So then it's not like a direct contact that you necessarily have. But there are people that have seen just people outside praying, and they will come out sometimes and will engage with them. And they're there to give them resources if they happen to change their mind or places that they can go to. And so my job is to support them with that, help them with resources. Sometimes, you know, like I'll do printing and things like that, just to help them get the word out.
And, well, the material that they're given, would that direct them toward one of your works? Or
It's not only my, like the Project Rachel Ministry, some of the people that do go into the clinic have had abortions in the past. And so part of that is, you know, maybe giving the resource for Project Rachel Ministry, which is the hope and healing from abortion. Or other, there's other locations that do different things. There's Rachel's Vineyard that is around in the state. There is Forgiven and Set Free. There's just different kind of programming. So it's just giving all of those resources, along with maybe places if they need financial need, or if they might have things that they need to purchase or stuff like that. It's just kind of giving them those kinds of resources if they change their mind.
Okay. Of course, we'll get back to that Project Rachel. But obviously, the more the contemporary action today is this Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Well, what's happening on the public policy end as far as a response there?
So the initially, Bishop Caggiano had written a letter, a statement on that, which is on the diocesan website. They can look for it on the Respect Life Ministry page as well. But also the bishops in the state of Connecticut actually joined together and composed a letter making a statement, you know, that they obviously do not support what New York has done, but to reaffirm, you know, their stand on obtaining the, you know, the right for the life of the child, and to just enforce our Catholic teachings and just remind people, you know, what they are about with our Catholic faith as far as respecting life.
Well, for the sake of our listeners, exactly what happened in New York? Well, what did Governor Cuomo do?
So Governor Cuomo passed a bill that stated that a child could be terminated even after birth. And I think what happened with that is because it was so extreme that people, I think even pro-choice people kind of took a step back and said, wait a minute. You know, I am pro-choice, but I think this is a little too much.
And so that's
really,
yes,
it is. It is. And it's really raised the awareness. And then following that was Virginia proposing, you know, something similar. And I really think it gave people a pause to think about, you know, what are we doing as a society? You know, this is really kind of crossing the line now. And so it's made people more aware. And so now they want to know, like, what each of their states are doing, you know, what are we doing as pro-life people, you know, trying to bring awareness. And I think it really has started a conversation, a bigger conversation than it has been in the past.
You know, you begin to wonder, and I wonder what, in viewing that particular law, exactly when does the civil law protect a baby?
I
don't think it even talks about that.
It doesn't. Not at all. It's all on the mother protecting her right, but there is nothing that says anything about the infant or the child.
It's incredible. It's like, when do you protect? Well, 1 year old, 2 years old? You know, it's incredible.
Right. It is. You know? It is. It's unheard of. It really is. And it's shocking the way that our legislators are thinking and that thinking that this is okay.
You know, you could be very, very cynical and almost say, well, gee, why don't they just expand abortion rights or reproductive rights to the point where as long as your child is used as a tax deduction on your income tax, you could terminate its existence. So,
right.
You know, it could be 20 years old.
Right.
I mean, it really is incredible. What do you... you're almost afraid to ask, but what do you think would develop from this? I mean, do you see this something that's just going to expand throughout the country, or right. is it something that you would find people begin to really rethink this thing?
I think it's very similar in when we deal with like the end of life issues. Mm-hmm. That's also another topic.
Mm.
This is coming up in our legislation now.
Mm.
Is the end of life issue, and what happens is that if you get one state that passes a law, then right behind it there are several states that follow suit with that. And mm-hmm. so I think we did see this. We had New York, then we had Virginia and Rhode Island. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. it just kind of starts to roll along, and you know they try to enact these laws, but thankfully you know some people have come to their senses and said no, we're not going to support mm-hmm. this, and. And like I said, it's very similar to the euthanasia. Mm-hmm. You know, once somebody passes something, then the other states try to pass that as well. And it's a very planned and concerted effort.
Mm.
And it's not just this one thing. There's things happening behind the scenes where, you know, they're trying to mobilize and, you know, push this agenda.
You know, on the I presume you're talking about physician-assisted suicide. I think that's coming up.
Yes.
Again.
Right.
It's interesting, though, how we tend to feel so saddened, deeply saddened, especially recently with suicides that have occurred of the parent of the Newtown
yes.
child,
yes.
and also,
yes.
I guess, two of the survivors, or rather the parent, I think, or one of the teachers. I can't remember. From Parkland.
Yeah, yeah. The Parkland yeah. shooting, yes.
And we're all deeply saddened how tragic a thing that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, on the other hand, that's very human, I guess.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we tend to say, well, you know, obviously this person's ill, this person's suffering, then there's no significance to any of that suffering.
Mm-hmm.
From a theological point of view, they don't consider that. And so, end your life, that's fine.
Right.
Obviously, God doesn't come into the picture
no.
very much at that point.
No.
But... When we're talking, again, kind of swinging back to the abortion issue,
mm-hmm.
I know you talked a lot about Project Rachel, and I'd like us to not be, let's say, sort of, not really myopia, but it's, let's say, a narrow view of looking at the unborn child specifically from that area,
mm-hmm.
but rather dealing with the fact that, you know, you also have the life of a woman involved
yes.
and a father involved,
mm-hmm.
and if involved at all. But what goes on with, let's say, Project Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
And why Rachel?
Well, Rachel is somebody from the Bible in Jeremiah. You know, she's
mm-hmm.
quoted. But it is the, you know, the loss and the sorrow, you know, from
mm-hmm.
losing a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... You know, as a community, we don't often see the effects. We often think of just the mother, which certainly it does have a terrible impact. But also, there is the loss from the father. Oftentimes, the father doesn't have a say or just wants to support his significant other, his wife or his girlfriend, and really doesn't want to see as being in opposition or that he doesn't have a choice. Or he can say or, you know, verbalize, I really don't want this to happen. But... you know, ultimately, the woman might say, well, it's my body, my choice. And so there's definitely consequences that happen and repercussions. And often I find that, you know, it's not just the two of them. It even goes far reaching to like siblings. You know, sometimes, you know, a woman may get married at some point in her life and she's had an abortion and, you know, she has other children in that marriage. But sometimes, you know, a child finds out that their parent has had an abortion
mm.
and it really goes deep into them thinking about, you know, their own existence, like questioning, like,
mm.
would I have the same name? Would I be, you know, what would my sibling be like and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's
mm-hmm.
also the role of grandparents. A lot of times abortion is coerced or even brought up by the parent of the person getting the abortion or going through that. And so there's can be, you know, remorse on the grandparent part,
mm.
how it affects them, you know, even with a friend, a counselor, a medical professional. And one of the things that we just did this past January, we had a prayer service down at the Basilica in Stamford, St. John's. And it was just kind of, we had witnesses that read actual testimonies. And the witnesses were written by these people, by parent, grandparent, by a medical professional. And when you kind of see all of that come together and you're seeing this in a prayer service, you really take a step back and say, I never realized that. I never realized that the abortion impacts so many people. Mm-hmm. And you think about the generations that have been lost, you know, in our society and how that impacts the people that are there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I realize a little of what you meant about the thought about, gee, you know, if a sibling or a child of a married, they think about, gee, mom had an abortion, and just wonder, you know. And I can see that even from my own mother's situation of where she had her first child was stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about, you know, I two brothers and I, we had a sister, and that didn't quite make it. It would have been an older sister. And, just in the tragic events of that, you start thinking about that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, how do we begin to, because sometimes it's so extreme in thought, and that is absolutely, in regard to a number of the, let's say, I guess Mike's called pro-choice extremist, that is just so extreme to the point that there's no listening to any kind of thought or argument with it. Do you do anything kind of promote some outreach in that sense? I know it's through the material that you give out, and I presume also whatever advertising you could do.
Right.
You know. Is there ever any dialogue that ever occurs regard to, like a show like this? Suppose we had a pro-choice person,
right,
or someone, you know, from Planned Parenthood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ever occur that you know of?
Not with me.
Okay.
I have never had anybody reach out. But one of the things that I've been thinking about is I recently saw a tagline. It might have been from the Archdiocese of Washington with transformed fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I really started to think about this, and it just came to me one morning that what our church teachings are. So we have the community at large that tells women they can't have a child now. Especially, you know, here we are, we're on a college campus, Sacred Heart University. And if a girl finds herself in a situation that she's pregnant, so the thoughts are, I can't have a child now. It's going to ruin my future. You know, I'm not ready. I'm not set up in a situation. But what does the church teach us? You know, the church teaches us, do not be afraid, right? And so I've been really thinking about this, like, how can we, and maybe this is something that'll develop inside the Respect Life Ministry while I'm there, but how can we answer those fears? You know, how can we walk with people with those fears? And certainly it is having those conversations maybe with a pro-choice person, you know, being able to sit in dialogue with them, you know, what are your stances on this, and how can, well, this is kind of what you're saying, and this is kind of what we're saying, or an answer, we're offering an answer for you to not be afraid. How can we walk with you in the fear?
Because a lot of times I presume it really doesn't do much good, I say, for a woman who is thoughtful in regard to this, is considering abortion, that they may not get that, really, that compassion or thoughtfulness back.
Right.
I mean, it's something just simply more pragmatic, clinical,
right,
that comes out of that rather than...
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And even if... So recently we've had we had a preview fundraiser in the diocese for the movie Unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gives you an idea of what it is like, you know, in a Planned Parenthood clinic.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask about that. Yeah. How did that movie develop?
So that was based on the story of Abby Johnson, who is now kind of like a well-known pro-life advocate. She was one of the youngest clinical directors of Planned Parenthood in Texas. She was based in Texas. And so she had written a book. She was actually, it was a 40 Days for Life campaign that was outside of her Planned Parenthood clinic. And she wound up developing a friendship with the people that were on the other side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of just would reach out to her, talk to her, And they kind of built up a friendship, even though she worked for Planned Parenthood. Mm. But when she had some different circumstances that happened while she was in the clinic, and she realized this, it wasn't the place for her to be. She realized what was happening, what was going on. And she wound up leaving, and she wound up going to this 40 Days for Life campaign headquarters, which was not far from where Planned Parenthood was. And they actually helped her to leave, so she didn't have to go back there. And so then what she did was she wrote a book called Unplanned, and it was about her journey, her story. And she was approached by, I guess, a Christian movie studio, PureFlix, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure. But to develop the book into a movie. And so this is what we – it's actually premiering this Friday. And so a local Knights of Columbus Council had a preview showing for a fundraiser, St. Teresa's Knights of Columbus in St. Trumbull. And they did a showing at the Klein Memorial Auditorium last week. And it was to, you know, preview the movie, kind of show, you know, what the movie was about. But then they also, to get the message out, raised some funds to help people do a theater buyout for the premiere, which is this Friday.
Now, explain that a little bit more to me. Now, that for that movie being in, let's say, a local cinema.
Yes.
That they'd actually have to buy out.
Yes.
All the seats.
Yes.
And give them away.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Or help assist in paying for tickets. Just to encourage people to attend. Mm-hmm. What often happens with, you know, faith-based movies is they're not in the theaters that long.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so this was a kind of a way to maybe get a little bit of a jump start on that. And and this is part of the pro-life movement mobilizing mm-hmm. and saying, hey, you know, this is important to us. We want people to be aware of it.
Yeah, that's a real commitment.
Yes.
That sounds like a... Now, another program you run is something called the Hope and Healing Weekend.
Yes.
And please let us know a little bit about that.
So that's part of the Project Rachel ministry. So underneath Project Rachel, the healing model that we use is called Entering Canaan. And so Entering Canaan has a weekend model called Hope and Healing Weekend. And it's a three-day weekend in which we have a witness that not only just discusses her experience, but it's a very sacramentally based program. We also have a priest that that assists spiritually on the weekend. He gives talks about reconciliation, and there's like different topics or themes, and it's it basically points to Christ, you know, the divine physician and the healer, and that you can heal with his assistance and with his help. You know, certainly psychologically, there are things that happen, and you know, we can refer to counselors and things like that. But there's also a spiritual wound that happens when you have an abortion, and so this weekend is part of the healing process in doing that.
The type of I guess I'm taking a look at the psychological effects of abortion. What type of effects tend to? I know we talked a little bit about siblings and the
yes.
rest. What type of effects happens within a woman, maybe if she's considering something like this, and also through Project Rachel mm-hmm. and what you've learned?
Right. So psychologically, there are many things that happen. Often depression is something that a woman experiences, mm-hmm. addiction, abusive relationships. There's many different psychological impacts that happen. Sometimes women turn to drinking or promiscuous behavior. And again, like I said, abusive relationships. And so it's really, I think that's often not talked about, you know.
Is there kind of a sort of a self-hatred
yeah.
happening?
Yeah, that's uh-huh. part of it. And that, you know, you can't forgive yourself, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And, but also a numbing. Like if you don't mm-hmm. want to deal with it, mm-hmm. you know, often people will turn to, mm-hmm. you know, drugs and alcohol to kind of numb that feeling. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, the depression, it's probably a major part of what happens. And then I do have resources on the Respect Life Ministry website on the diocese. You know, there's different things that people can look through for resources that kind of give what some common symptoms are for post-abortion syndrome. And people, again, and even if you go to a psychologist, sometimes psychologists don't recognize, mm. You know, that these are legitimate things that happen. And so I think it's good to find a very good therapist or counselor, ask for referrals, somebody that you can trust that can address the issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we run out of time in our program today, if someone wants to reach out to your Respect Life Ministry, mm-hmm. how do they go about that?
So they can go on the Diocese of Bridgeport website. There will be a bar on the top that says Ministries, and you can just click on that and just scroll down, and it'll say Respect Life / Project Rachel.
Now, what about confidentiality? How is that maintained?
So Project Rachel has a confidential phone line, which is 203-416-1619, or there is a confidential email address, which is projectrachel@diobpt.org, and I'm the only one that checks that and checks the voicemails and stuff, so it is very confidential. Nothing is discussed, and I'm happy to help anybody who calls and needs help.
So this might be someone who might be considering that they're in a situation mm-hmm. where they feel just tremendous pressure or difficulties, and they want to reach out.
Sure. If they need help, if they've had an abortion, they could certainly call or email. Or if they're thinking about it, I could more than happy to talk to them and try to connect them with resources, maybe places that they can go for help. Catholic Charities is one way that we can connect people. And with some resources and things like that.
Do you work with other pro-life groups?
Well, I do.
I know you mentioned Catholic Charities.
Right.
That way, yeah.
Well, there's other, different things, like the Family Institute of Connecticut is, mm-hmm. Is a place that I connect with a lot. Connecticut Catholic Conference, which reports to the bishops of Connecticut. There's different, like Hope Line Pregnancy Resource Center is another one. And there's also a new facility that's trying to open, a medical health facility called Project Beloved, but mm-hmm. maybe that's another topic we could talk about in the next show.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Before, we only have a minute. Mm-hmm. Again, I'd like them people to know how to reach you again. Yeah.
So my direct line is 203-416-1445, and it's M. Ciardiello, Ciardiello, @diobpt.org.
Okay. Also, we encourage you just to go online to the Diocese of Bridgeport, and under Ministries, you'll find the help for Respect Life. If you have any questions about that, do you take volunteers and all that, or do you look for other help?
Yeah. Actually, somebody had called me. She has experience working with elderly and geriatric patients, and that's
great for end of life.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we'll continue that, being a more or less an old-timer myself. Maureen, thank you very much for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you again. God bless everyone. Thank you for listening, and join us next week.